It's good to see everyone here this morning, especially those that may be visiting with us, if you have chosen to come to worship God together with us. We're going to look this morning, starting at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 11. Paul is expressing to the people, or the writer of Hebrews, if it was Paul, the idea that they needed to continue on to be faithful. And he has shown from chapter 11 all of these who were faithful to God under the old covenant, how they even, many of them, gave their lives for the cause of God's will. And so he's encouraging in chapter 12 to be faithful. He begins in verse 1. He says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." The witnesses were Moses and Abraham and all of these faithful ones throughout the Old Testament. He says, we are surrounded by them. And so we are to build upon the faith that they had and be strengthened by it. And so in chapter 12 and verse 11, he has talked about the fact that God chastens, he disciplines us because of our sin sometime. And he gives to us then the opportunity to believe him and to obey him and to repent and be forgiven. So he says now in verse 12, chapter 12, verse 11, he says, "For now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but it's painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord." So the idea is there that we are to seek after holiness. Now, maybe sometimes we think of ourselves and we think, well, I'm not holy. Well, if we are a faithful servant of God, we are. Not because of our righteousness that we deserve, but because God in his grace makes us holy because we're being faithful to him. And so we look at the idea this morning of holiness. And you look around in the world and you hear all kinds of things when that kind of term is brought up. To some people, the idea of holiness means that there are some people who have some kind of gift and some kind of ability that us ordinary, normal Christians don't get. And somehow they're specially chosen and they can do all kinds of things that nobody else can do. And so they have this idea that makes them better than everybody else. And that's an idea that some people have of holiness. And a direct operation, for example, of the Holy Spirit in our life to direct us to do things that we wouldn't normally do or be able to do. And that's apart from what God says in the Word of God. So that's one idea about holiness in that word. There are others who looked upon the idea of holiness and they look upon it with scorn and they look upon it with disdain, because they associate the idea of holiness with someone who thinks he is better than everybody else and living in one way and teaching something different and living in hypocrisy. And we have to look at that and realize, because the world has a wrong idea of what holiness is, does not change what the truth actually is. And that's what we're trying to look at this morning. A great responsibility is on us who would try to serve God to live a life that is holy, in other words, in accordance with God's will. And we can't do it perfectly because we sin and fall short of the glory of God. But we can be able to be an example to others who are around us. And we've all heard the saying somewhere that's been around a long time that says, "What you are speaks so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying." So there are people who say one thing and teach one thing and they act a different way. And unfortunately, that sheds upon those of us who are trying to serve God to the best of whatever limited ability we have. And so maybe we just kind of throw up our hands and say, well, I can never be holy. Well, the Bible concept of holiness is not man's concept. And so we have to understand that there is a difference. that holiness is not an outward display of how we're better than everybody else, as some people would accuse. Well, that's not the way it is. It isn't because someone wears a certain kind of robe or some kind of special collar or has a big chain around his neck with a big cross on it. That doesn't make one holy either. And yet, many people in the world think that that's what distinguishes holiness with what God wants. But notice Jesus had that same problem in his own day when he was having to face up to against the scribes and the Pharisees and others. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27, Jesus said to those of his day, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Well, they thought they were righteous. They thought they were holy because they could trace their lineage all the way back to Abraham, and that they offered the right sacrifice on the right day of the week and the right day of the month and did all of the, kept all the feasts just right, that that made them holy before God. But Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but with the inner full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." He says, yes, you whitewash the outside, but inwardly it's not there. You're not living according to the will of God. He says, then, "You also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Jesus could see through the outward facade of what they considered to be holiness. Now, we have to be very careful if we're going to try to follow Christ that we don't present that kind of view to other people around us. Now, some are going to criticize no matter what we do, so we still have to be faithful. And so we look at this idea of holiness, and I call it practical holiness. The word practical comes from the same root word as practice, which means it's something we put into practice every day that we live. But because there is a false conception of holiness, does not in any way do away with the real thing. And again, sometimes people think, well, I can't be holy, therefore I don't even have to worry about that. We have to be holy if we're going to be righteous enough to be in the presence of God. And again, it's not because of our own self-righteousness, but because of our faith and obedience to the Lord that he allows us to be. So we look at this idea of holiness and understand that anything that is good and anything that is righteous, that's always been really from the very beginning, it can be counterfeited. Now, normally, we think of a counterfeit, we think of money. And you can get a counterfeit $20 bill, for example, and it, if you don't pay close attention to it, looks just like the real thing, maybe even feels like the real thing, but it's counterfeit, it's worthless. Well, holiness and Christianity can be the same way. They can be counterfeited by people in the world, and it is very often. And you don't have to go very far to find how that has been done. But just because, for example, someone says, well, I don't want to go to church because I know there's hypocrites there. Well, there's hypocrites everywhere in the world, and it doesn't keep people from going where they go. And so that's not a very good excuse, and one, of course, that God will not accept. Because our relationship to God does not depend upon whether somebody else serves him or not. It only depends whether me and you individually serve God and we come together as his people to encourage each other along the way. We're going to be judged not according to what somebody else did or did not do, or if they didn't live up to Christianity as they proclaimed. We're not going to be judged by them. We're going to be judged according to our own works. In Revelation 20 and verse 13, and the description of the day of judgment says, all were gathered there, and they were judged according to their works. In other words, what we have done in this life, that's what our judgment is going to be based upon. Our faith, our love for God, our help for others who are around us. All of these things are important to God, and that's what's going to judge us. And in Psalms 93 and verse 5, David said, holiness becomes your house, O Lord, forever. The word becomes there means to be suitable and beautiful for it. And so he says holiness becomes the throne of God. Well, if God is that way, God wants us to be the same way. In Matthew 5 and verse 48, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Be holy." He quoted from the Old Testament, where God said, "Be holy, for I also am holy." Now, we can't be holy in the sense that God is, but if we're faithful to him, by his grace, he gives to us his blessing, because he did that for all of those in the Old Testament who are faithful, for Moses and Abraham and others. And so we can be holy before God, not because of our righteousness, but because of his. But that which adorns the house of God more than anything else is that holiness which we have in our lives by our faith and obedience to him. We have to try to live as best we can lives that are clean, that are holy, that are separated from the ways of the world. Now again, we have to live in the world, but we don't have to decide we're going to be like the world that is around us. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God." Now what do we do? Well, first have to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice every day. That is in contrast to the Old Testament, where on a certain day of the week or the month or whatever time of the year it might be, they would offer a bull or a goat or whatever the requirement was as a sacrifice for their sin. Paul says, no, you don't have to do that anymore. Christ was the fulfillment of that. And 1 Corinthians, the Bible tells us that our Passover was offered, and that Passover is Christ. He was the Passover lamb. But if we offer ourselves, we do it as a living sacrifice. Every day we live, we try to serve God to the best of our ability, even though occasionally we're going to fall short. And in doing so, God is going to bless us and forgive where we do fall. Also, it lives within us and empowers us according to the work which God has given. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Ephesians 3:16, Paul, in his prayer for the church at Ephesus and for us too as we read this, he says that he would grant you, that's God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might in his, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now notice, when we obey the gospel, when we hear and believe the gospel, we're buried with him in baptism, we're raised to walk in newness of life, we're forgiven of our sins, and according to Acts 2:38, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's given to us as a guide for us. And so Paul says there in Ephesians 3, in his prayer there, he says to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, which we have by belief and obedience to the gospel. And he says in the inner man that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Every day that we live, if we're faithful to God, Christ dwells in our hearts because of the faith that we have received. And he won't dwell there without the faith that we have in him. God's holiness is for all of us to become a part of and to imitate. In Ephesians 1 verse 4, it says he has chosen us in him, that's in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before God in his love. Through Christ, we are chosen, the chosen people of God. Not because of how great and sinless we are, but in spite of that fact, by the blood of Christ and by the grace of God, we are given holiness because we have chosen to follow him. And it has to be an everyday thing that we do. We can't just decide we're going to live one day for the Lord and the rest of the time for our own way. It has to be every day. But the idea of us, of our being holy, is an idea that is found throughout the Bible. Now, someone is not holy, again, because he appears on the outward side to be that way. He is not holy because he wears a certain kind of robe or some kind of collar or some other kind of thing that goes along with what the world thinks of, or puts his hair in a certain way, or he or she does that, and that doesn't bring about holiness. And it isn't, we're not holy because we don't partake of some of the bad things of the world. It's, yes, we have to try to do what's right and turn away from the evil of the world. But true holiness is going to have an effect on every area of our life, not just as we meet together on the first day of the week, not just as we partake of the Lord's Supper, but every day we live. True holiness is going to be a direction in our lives, and it's something we have to strive for, we have to work toward, and we have to believe in Christ, and he gives us those things because we're trying to be his faithful servant. And by his grace, we receive that blessing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. First, how do we prove it? Well, we prove it by comparing what we're doing and others are doing by what the Word of God says. And we reject the ways of the world and turn back and stand upon, spiritually speaking, upon the Word of God. He says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. As much as we possibly can, which we're not always going to do, but as much as we can, stay away from the evil that is in the world around us. What's the blessing from it? And he says, and the God of peace himself will sanctify you wholly. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y, means completely in every way. The God of peace himself shall sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're trying to be faithful to God every day we live, that is going to happen. Not because we don't sin, because we do. But God will forgive, and by his grace, he will give us the holiness and the righteousness which we need to be right before him on the day of judgment. And because the nature of a holy God becomes us, in other words, it makes us holy and righteous and faithful to him, and not only to us individually, but collectively as God's people. We often do things by nature that we shouldn't do. Sometimes we talk about we trust our conscience to be our guide. Well, conscience isn't always a good guide, because our conscience can be changed or perverted in the way that we can even, as Isaiah said, woe to them who put good for evil and righteous for unrighteousness, and change those things. And so the one who lives the way the world does, and at the same time trying to say, well, I'm trying to be a servant of God, brings the wrath of God upon himself if that continues. We have to make a decision that our lives are going to be faithful to God as best we possibly can, that we're going to be pleasing in his sight. Now, go over to James chapter 5 just for a moment. In James 5 and verse 7, he says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And we have to be patient. And patience doesn't simply mean sitting around waiting for something to be done. Patience means we endure even persecution or whatever it might be to be faithful. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently until he receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. And he talks about that the next verse, the patience that Job had in enduring. He says that's the example that we're to take, to be holy and faithful, and then hold on to the end. And again, it's not because of our own holiness and righteousness, because we don't have those things of ourselves. We have those things only because God allows us to do so. But the only cure, for example, of our sinful and corrupt nature is the blood of Christ that is shed for us. We can't do it ourselves. It's not possible. Or is it impossible for us as human beings to enter into heaven in the presence of God? But the Bible says, and Jesus said, With us, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So the blood of Christ is what God gave us for that, so that we could be holy. In 1 Peter 1:19, Peter said, "With precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." The blood of Christ takes away our sin because we believe and we obey Him. In John 1:29, when Jesus was coming to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist, John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Without Him, the sin of the world would always be there, because that was God's plan from the beginning. So sometimes we're troubled. We have a difficulty in life, a heavy heart for some reason. There is a power that God gives to us, and it comes because of the blood of Christ. And we sang that song this morning about that the blood of Christ and what it does for us. And 1 John 1:7, it says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Christ, His Son, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Notice something right here. I probably read this a lot of times and I kind of missed this part of it. He says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." That fellowship is what brings us together as God's people. And we can't walk in the light without having fellowship with each other. We can't do it on our own. We have to have help of those who are around us. He says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." The word "cleanse" there is a continuing action. Every day we live, as we walk in the light of God, we're cleansed from our sins. We are made holy, again, not because of our goodness, but because of His. We rejoice and praise God because of the blood that Christ has shed for us. And if there is a struggle in our life, there is that power that God gives to us because of the sacrifice of Christ for us. We go back again to the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. He says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Okay, Jesus did all these things for you and me. Our part is to hold fast the confession of our faith. Verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." Jesus can sympathize with us because He took on a human form. He lived His life and was faithful. Because it says, "But He was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin." Jesus overcame sin, which we could not do, and He was sacrificed for us, which we could not do. He shed His blood to cleanse our sins, which we couldn't do, and He rose from the grave on the third day, which we can do, but only because He went there first for us. And so the cross of Calvary is there to change us, to make us holy when we cannot be of our own. But Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need." We all have time of need. We all have need for the blood of Christ to be shed for us, which was done. We all need the grace and the mercy of God. And we can't be holy without that. But the cross is going to produce a holiness in our everyday lives. I mentioned before the title of this lesson is Practical Holiness. That means it is a way of life that we put into practice every day that we live. It is something that does not change. Holiness does not change because that is part of the nature of God Himself. In Hebrews 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever." He's always been, He is, He always will be. And so as He is, we can be in this world also. 1 John 4:17, John says, "Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And because as He is, even so we are in this world." Again, we look at ourselves and maybe we look in the mirror sometime and think how far short of God's will we fall. And often we sin and we don't do what we should, or we do what we shouldn't. And we all have that battle within us. Romans 7, the Apostle Paul said he had that same battle every day he lived. And he was one of the greatest men ever lived. And so we all have that same battle. But it says, because as he is, even so we are in this world. Again, not because of our righteousness, but because of his. And so there's something wrong with a life in which we're trying to live. And maybe we come on the first day of the week and we sing praises to God and we pray and we partake of the Lord's Supper. And then if we go from there and we live like all the world around us and don't change anything, then we're not doing the things that God requires of us to be holy. We have to try the best that we can, and even though we're going to fall short sometime. When you know we're good to a person to their face and we're not when they turn away from us, then there's a problem with our view of the world, because Christ wants us to love all people all the time. He doesn't say it's easy, but he says to do it because that's the way God does. And we have to work at it sometime. When we profess a high standard of righteousness, and then we don't try to live up to it, we're turning our back upon God. We have to try to understand that our faith and our service to God is an example not only for our immediate people and family around us, but who all who know who we are, who what we're trying to believe and serve and serve God in that respect. When our attendance to service is not as important to us as many of the things of the world, we need to look at ourselves and see, where am I in the service to God? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, one of the signs of evil which Paul told Timothy, he says, there will come a time when men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Well, if there is ever a time when that was true, it's the time which we live. But we cannot afford to allow ourselves to be like the world that is around us. Yes, we can enjoy life and enjoy the things around us, and God wants us to do that. But we have to be very careful that that does not become the motivating force in our life. And so Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. God wants us to have the best life now and the greatest life for all of eternity. But the best life has to be based upon our faith and obedience to the Lord. So we have to understand that when we have a desire to serve God on Tuesday or a Thursday or whatever day of the week it is, as well as we do on the first day of the week, we're trying, at least putting forth the effort, to serve God faithfully. We have to try to control our tongue. Now, it's difficult to do sometimes. In fact, the Bible acknowledges that is very true. James chapter 3, verse 2 says, for in many things we all stumble. And if any man stumbles not in word, the same as a perfect man and able to bridle his own body. So we have more. The fact the Bible has more condemnation of sins of the tongue than any other kind of sin. Well, why would that be? Well, because we have trouble controlling it sometime. And the Lord acknowledges that. But if we try, he's going to be with us to give us the ability and power to do so. Even when we do fall short on that in that area, we have to try to be as dependable and faithful as we can to God and to his word and to his service in order to have the holiness that God wants us to have. He wants us to bless us with those things. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be righteous. But we have to put forth the effort every day we live. And every day doesn't mean just 1 or 2 days a week, but every day of our life should be a commitment to the Lord. Holiness in our own lives is something for which we should be constantly striving, but only through God's love and grace can we receive it, because we cannot be holy of ourselves. And in the book of Luke, there's a passage there where Jesus told a parable, and the parable was told about for those who trusted in their own righteousness and not in the righteousness of God. Well, we cannot allow ourselves to fall into that category. We can't sit back and relax and just expect the righteousness and the holiness of God to come to us. Well, what do we do? Matthew 7:21, says, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." We have to choose to do the will of God every day we live. Now, as you look at this, we understand that the world has a false concept, several false concepts about what holiness is. Holiness basically for us is believing and obeying Christ to the best of our ability every day that we live. And God gives to us a righteousness and a holiness that we did not have. Several times in the Bible it says of Abraham that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Abraham was not righteous of himself. He believed God, he obeyed God, and God reckoned that righteousness to him. That's what he does for you and me because of our faith and obedience. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for you and me. He rose from the grave on the third day. Colossians 2:12 tells us that we are buried with him in baptism and we are raised by the work and forgiven by the working of God. It's God's work in our life through our faith that forgives us by his grace and mercy. We have to believe and obey him to receive those things as a blessing every day we live. This morning, if you need to come at this time, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.